my hope is that everybody will respond to the altars today. Now, for those of you guys that have a harder time getting around, you're welcome to sit in the front. And if you can't get down here, nobody's going to look at you badly. Nobody's gonna shame you or anything like that. In fact, we might even have a couple people gather around and pray for you. But we want to take a few minutes today to spend some time at the altars. So we're going to move through the message, hopefully at a little quicker pace, although I do like to talk a lot, so I can't guarantee anything, but hopefully at a quicker pace so that we can spend some time lingering this morning at the altars, praying and asking God for what he wants to do in our life. All right, let's go ahead and jump in then. Have you ever had an opportunity to talk to somebody that was somebody that you really respected, somebody that had a lot of knowledge in a field you were in, somebody that you knew would have the answers to the questions that you needed? Have you ever had an opportunity to speak to somebody like that? For me, I was in a band when I was a teenager, and we went as a band together. We went to a Newsboys concert. Hopefully, you guys all know the Newsboys. It was seriously one of the most technically excellent concerts I've ever been to. Afterwards, they did a signing, and so we stood in line and we waited to sign. I knew I was going to have 1 minute with somebody from the band to ask them anything that I wanted to. And so as I was talking to my fellow bandmates, and we're talking about, man, what must it be like living on the road, and you know, how does it affect their families and stuff like that? Had all of these questions running through my mind, and I get to the front of the line, and I'm standing in front of one of the singers, and I hand them my poster, and I've got one chance, right? One opportunity to learn something that could potentially change the trajectory of my life, because I'm in a band. I want to be doing what they're doing. And I hand them my paper, and my mind goes blank, and I couldn't remember anything that I was supposed to be. We'd had a conversation. The line was like 45 minutes long. We'd had a conversation forever talking about these things. And finally, I was able to squeak out, "Do you guys ever listen to your own music?" Which is the worst question ever, because nobody's going to say yes to it, right? And he said no. He looked at me, he was like, no. And that was, I got one word out of him. And then I kept going through the line. At a different time, I had an opportunity to meet with a guy who was a district youth director in another district in the nation, and he came to our summer camp to teach. And during the summer camp, I was in charge of helping out facilitating a meeting with some of our student leaders who could come and could ask him questions. And I was told going into the meeting, I was like, "Hey, you might have to prompt some of these kids, you might have to help them out, help them figure out what some questions were." And so, again, I went into the meeting with all of these ideas for things that I could help to ask, you know, help to kind of prod them along. And but before the meeting, I had about 10 minutes with him where I asked all of the questions that I was going to ask during the meeting. And then again, when I got to the meeting, again, my mind is blank. And it's like, I have somebody right here that could probably help address the challenges that I'm going through, that could address the challenges these students are going through. And my mind is just, there's just nothing up there. And I'm just sitting in the back and I'm watching. Thankfully, the kids were really excited about it. And so they had an opportunity to ask him questions. And I didn't end up having to you know, do that where I was prompting them. But it was so funny how I got into that. And I had like, you know, three or four questions that I had prepared. So I blurted them all out in the first 2 minutes. And I had nothing left to talk to him about. My mind went blank. I had access. I had opportunity. I had the chance to find something out that potentially could have helped me quite a bit, but I didn't come prepared. I wasn't ready for the opportunity. And I wonder how often we do that with God. I wonder how often we have opportunities to come to God and to connect with him and to ask him things, and yet when we come, we show up and we're unprepared, or we show up and we're not quite sure what to ask for, or we show up and we're not even really paying attention or connected. And so we come to church and we gather around the Word of God. We worship together. We have powerful times of worship like we did earlier. And then Jesus says to us, "Here I am. Ask me anything. Tell me what you need." And it's like our mind goes blank. And then at the end of the service at the end of the service, we walk away and we leave and we're unchanged. And nothing happens. and our lives stay the same because we didn't take that opportunity to lean in. We didn't take that opportunity to ask. So today I'm going to challenge you. If you're new here, I would encourage you, you're welcome to engage, or you're welcome to just sit back and watch. That's up to you. But if you're a believer and you've been here for a while, I want to encourage you to lean in this morning. And I want to encourage you to really listen to what, not to what I'm saying, but to what God is going to say to you this morning. And at the end of the service, like I said, I'm going to open up the altars, and we're going to pray, and we're going to spend time praying for everybody that responds. So today we're going to talk about motivation. And our question really boils down to this question of, why are you here? Why are you here? Why? It's not like you didn't have anything better to do, right? It's not like you came just because of a routine, or hopefully you didn't come just because of a routine. Well, I just get up every Sunday morning. It's what I've been doing for 30 years. And you know, so I just come. Or maybe, you know, you came just to see your friends. And you know that, you know, there's going to be a certain group here. You're going to meet with them in the lobby. You're going to have coffee with them ahead of time at the end of service. You're going to shake hands with them. You're going to go your separate ways. And you're like, it's just a matter of routine. Maybe some of you came to practice for karaoke, right? You just need that opportunity to sing in front of people or to sing with people. And so you're like, okay, I'm going to come and I'm going to practice my karaoke. Maybe some of you just really enjoy listening to Pastor Jeff tell funny jokes. And see, that was a joke. And you're like, okay, I just really want to come because, you know, I get these fuzzy feelings. I feel inspired, and I'm ready. And so I come because I just want to feel something. But the truth is, Jesus calls out to the hurting and to the broken. And he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's calling out to you today. And he's saying, whatever needs you came with, whatever burdens you're carrying today, he wants to meet you. He wants to answer you. He wants to connect with you today. You guys sacrificed to be here. You woke up early, or you had to interrupt your morning routine. You had to get dressed. You had to, you know, you had to get the kids ready to come. You sacrificed to be here. You have yard work to do. You have groceries to buy. You have people to see. You have other things that you could be doing with these 2 hours on a Sunday morning. You sacrificed. Why are you here? Why are you here? Are you hoping to, is it because you're hoping to feel good? Is it because you just needed to check something off your list? Every time I go to church, I feel like I've accomplished something for the week, so I'm just checking that thing off. Is it because you wanted to feel inspired or motivated? Or are you hoping to learn something new about God or something new about yourself? Question is, did you come to be comforted, or did you come just to check a box? Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The truth is, Jesus still stops for the people that cry out to him. This is our big picture idea today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be looking at a story of a man as Jesus is walking through town. A man that Jesus stopped for. Because Jesus still stops for those who cry out to him. Again, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So today's sermon is all about a man who refused to sit back and refused to walk away when Jesus was passing by. In Mark chapter 10, Mark is the second book of the New Testament. It was written to show that Jesus was the servant Messiah. And we see as we go through the book of Mark, we see this idea of Jesus being both the servant and the Son of God. Somebody who was willing to stand up, but also somebody who was willing to change course and to come and to meet needs where they were at. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is making his way through Jericho for the last time. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows it. And he understands what's about to happen. He's going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which means that there would have been crowds of people that were going up at the same time as him. And they were all going together. And the Bible says that Jesus had gotten a crowd of people around him because he's Jesus. And they wanted to hear what he had to say. So Mark chapter 10 in verse 46. I'm going to take another drink of water. Mark chapter 10, 46 says this. It says, then they came to Jericho. And as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So you guys can picture the scene. So there's a large crowd of people. There's a parade of people that are making their way down Main Street that are trying to get to Jerusalem so that they can celebrate the Passover together. The Bible and Jewish tradition tells us that as they made this journey up to Jerusalem, they would have been singing several of the Psalms. I can't remember what numbers right now, maybe 140 to 150, somewhere in there. But if you look in your Bible, it'll have them tagged as the songs of ascent. These were the songs that they would sing as they would make their way up to Jerusalem to get ready for the Passover feast. And so it's a joyous occasion. There's a lot of people buzzing, but there's a lot of people that are really interested in Jesus and who he is and what he has to say. So a crowd gathers around, and we have this blind man sitting on the side of the road, and he's asking people for money because he knows there's going to be a crowd of people. So he's got his cloak set out, and he's asking people, hey, can you spare some change? You know, and these people, they're headed to a religious festival. They're feeling really generous. They're feeling really excited. So he's probably making some pretty good money sitting on the side of the road. And Bartimaeus is sitting there as the crowd passes by. But then he hears something from the crowd that changes his focus and changes his perspective. Because he hears as the crowd is coming and as people are mumbling, and maybe he knows that people are supposed to be going one way towards Jerusalem, but then he starts to hear the crowd shift and people have doubled back and because they heard something. And there was something exciting that was happening and somebody was coming that was different. Somebody, a person of honor, was going to be passing through. And now the crowd is buzzing for a new reason because Jesus is coming through. And because of that, the crowd shifted, everybody shifted, and Bartimaeus, it gets his attention. He can't see what's going on, but he's very aware of what's happening. And so he's sitting by the roadside begging, verse 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David. You can hear it in his voice, right? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I need you. He's trying to get above the crowd. He's trying to cut through the noise, all of the commotion. He's trying to get Jesus' attention. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. But many in the crowd, many in the crowd rebuked him. They told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What are you doing here today? Why did you come? Why did you sacrifice? Why did you wake up early? Why did you make sure that you were wearing your nicer clothes? And why did you make sure that you got here early? It wasn't for the coffee. It wasn't for the music. Why are you here today? For Bartimaeus, his entire perspective shifted in a moment. He was there to collect money from people who were passing by. And something changed in an instant for him. What do you need mercy for today? What is that burden? What is that heavy burden that's on you that you need mercy for? There's a large crowd, a lot of people trying to get to Jesus. And you can imagine him sitting there and he's listening intently. He's trying to figure out what's going on. Maybe a couple people in the crowd, he hears the name Jesus and he's like, wait, I've heard of him before. Because somebody just the other day was telling me about a different blind man who was healed. And we just heard the story of a man who was dead, who was brought back to life. We know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to bring sight to the blind people. Maybe this is my chance. Maybe this is my moment. What do you need mercy for today? And so faith in that moment shouted out. Faith wouldn't allow him to sit still. Faith wouldn't allow him to sit idly by. Instead, his faith shouted out. And the truth is, the crowd then responds probably the way that I would have. for just being honest. They're like, they're walking by. Now there's a crowd of people. Again, there's lots of commotion. And the people in the crowd are trying to hear from Jesus too. And so you're trying to listen in, but maybe you're like five rows back from Jesus, and Jesus is talking and he's teaching and he's telling people about how to live. And so then this person behind you starts yelling and you're like, oh, I'm just trying to listen, man, don't you understand that I'm trying to learn how to love my neighbor? And so they start yelling and they're like, quiet down, pipe down. You can't disrupt right now. The master is talking. Jesus has something that he wants to say to me. Stop yelling so I can hear what he has to say. But Bartimaeus didn't listen. He'd heard the stories of miracles. He probably never expected to get this opportunity. He probably never expected to be in proximity to Jesus, because how would he get there? How would he ever make his way to Jesus? But he heard that Jesus was passing by, and something inside of him shifted. Many people told him to be quiet. And the truth is, when you start to listen, when you start to obey the things that God is telling you to do, there are going to be people in your life that are going to tell you that you're crazy. There are going to be people in your life that are going to tell you that you shouldn't do that. And oftentimes we even put that pressure on ourselves. Like I said, at the end of the message today, I'm going to invite everybody to come forward, and I'm going to ask you guys to come. And some of you might be thinking, well, what if I make a fool of myself? What if I get down here and I don't know what to say, or I don't know what to ask for? What if I come forward and people start looking at me because they're like, well, he must be dealing with some secret sin, or he must be, you know, dealing with a problem in his life. And who is he? You know, I saw him and he wasn't reading his Bible this week. In fact, I saw him on the road, cut somebody off. Who is that person to come down and to ask God? And so we start to develop all of these narratives in our head, when the truth is, people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about, hopefully, what God is doing in them. And if they are thinking about you, that's on them, not on you. So listen to me when I say that God might ask you today to start something, to change something, or to do something in your life. There might be something that you need to get rid of. There might be something that you need to change. There might be something that you need to start doing. Maybe for you, it's the Bible reading plan. And you're going to ask God, you're going to come forward, and you're going to say, God, I want to be closer to you. And God's going to say, I want you to get into my word, because I want you to hear from me every day. And you're going to say, I've never been able to stick with a reading plan before. Never been able to do it before. And you're going to go home and you're going to tell your kids, or you're going to tell your parents, or you're going to tell your spouse, and they're going to say, well, you know, this is just a fad. It'll pass. You know, yeah, go for it. I trust that you'll be able to do it for a couple days, you know, 2-3 days, and then it's fine, you know. But something inside of you is going to change. Something inside of you is going to be different. Something inside of you is stirred now. God is asking you to do something. Maybe you think that the biblical teaching on marriage is old-fashioned. And so you're just living your life, but God wants you to do things his way, to do things God's way. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something, and you would say to yourself, you know, I know that God can heal headaches, but can he cure cancer? And I don't know. How could I even be bold enough to ask somebody to pray for me? And so I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna sit back. Rather than asking God, rather than taking that step of faith, I'm just gonna sit back. And so we think to ourselves, what will people think when I go down to the altar? Heaven forbid they should know that I'm not perfect, right? This is the thing inside of us. We all would acknowledge, we all would say it. You know, if anybody came up and asked you, are you a perfect person? We would say no. And we'd have five things from this morning that you could use to prove to them that you're not a perfect person, right? But we get this thought in our head that I can't show anybody that I'm not perfect. And so we refuse to come forward, because we allow the crowd, we allow other people's perception of us, we allow what we perceive other people's perception to be. It's not actually what they're thinking, but what we think they're thinking. We allow that to stop us from getting what God has for us. The Bible says, but Bartimaeus shouted all the more. Bartimaeus shouted all the more. He shouted all the more. And when you know that God is in the room, when you know that the Spirit of God is here, when you experience worship like we did earlier. I want to encourage you, don't hold back. Don't allow yourself to sit back. Don't allow yourself to be swayed by the crowd. Don't allow the crowd to shush you, but allow yourself to speak out. Allow yourself to sing out. Allow yourself to clap along, to raise your hands, to kneel down, whatever God is asking you to do in that moment. Don't hold back, but get everything that God has for you. I was reading a story this last week about this man's experience at the altar. And he was talking about this powerful testimony of how God was working on him. And he said he just something inside of him just broke, and he started running laps around the outside of the room. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting like that before, where somebody goes and just something, God speaks to him, and all of a sudden they take off and they're running, and people are laughing, and people are being blessed, and they're crying. And I used to have a pastor that would tell us that sometimes when God does something in your life, when God is trying to remove something from your life, it tickles, and so you laugh, and sometimes it hurts, so you cry. And God is doing something in your life, and God was doing something for him. And so he goes, and he has this powerful encounter with God. And he said at the end of the meeting, one of the elders of the church walks up to him, and he just had this incredible encounter. And the man said to him, he said, "Did you get what you came here for?" And that's the question that I really want to ask us today. Why are we here? And are you going to get what you came here to get? What are you carrying? What's the burden? What's the thing that you're carrying with you? Will you get what you came here to get? It might require pressing in. It might require coming forward to the altar. It might require asking somebody to pray for you. It might require singing out during worship. It might require sending somebody a message saying, "Hey, later we need to talk." It might require extending forgiveness to somebody that's hurt you. It might require a lot of things from you. Are you willing to do what it takes to get what you came here for? Mark chapter 10, verse 49, Jesus stopped. I could preach a whole sermon on the faith that makes Jesus, that makes God stop. We'll get there a different time. Jesus stopped, and he said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up." They said, now the crowd is like, wait a second, Jesus is about to do something amazing. I want to see what's going to happen. Hey, blind man, cheer up. God is calling you. Jesus is calling you. He wants to hear from you. And all the crowd parts, and they make way so that the blind man can come to him. And I would imagine that, you know, somebody grabbed his hand and helps him to get to where Jesus is. And now all of a sudden, everybody in the crowd, their focus, their attention is on this moment. They called to the blind man, "Cheer up, he, on your feet, he's calling to you." Throwing his cloak aside, he says, he jumped to his feet. Psalm 34, 18 says this. It says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." If you came here today and you're carrying a burden, if you came here with a weight around you, if you came here with something that you're wrestling with, something that you're unsure of, an issue that's popped up in your life that is too big for you, a concern, a new opportunity that you're not sure if you should take it or not, if you came here today for whatever reason, God is here for you. He's close to the brokenhearted. And he saves those who are crushed in spirit, those who are downcast, those who are feeling the weight of everything going on. He's here to save you today. So he throws off his cloak and makes his way to Jesus. And then Jesus says maybe the most powerful words that you could ever hear Jesus say to you. Jesus looks at the blind man and he says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" Imagine getting 5 minutes with your favorite billionaire, whoever he is, and that's the question that they ask you. You know, "I've got all of the resources, I've got all of the funds to make your wildest dreams come true. What do you want me to do for you?" Now, Jesus didn't ask because he needed information. All of the crowd could see what this man needed. Jesus wasn't asking to say, I wonder what this man has going on in his life. Jesus saw that he was being led over. Jesus knew exactly what was going to come next. But it's the same question that Jesus asks us today. Why are you here? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus already knows the answer. Jesus already knows what you need. but he's waiting for you to ask him. I wonder if the crowd was thinking, man, Jesus, isn't it obvious? We can all see. In fact, we're all waiting. We're all expecting you to heal him because you're Jesus and that's what you do. And yet Jesus waited for him to ask. This encounter not only brought the man healing, but it brought him a new purpose as well. Because when Jesus passes by, the miserable receive mercy. And the truth is, it wasn't just a blind man that saw new things that day. Because the crowd was inspired as well. Jesus says, the blind man says, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus says, go, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he receives his sight and follows Jesus down the road. Immediately, he receives his sight and starts to follow Jesus. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage. We can believe that God can. We can believe that God wants to. You guys can fill in the blank. We believe that God has the ability to. We believe that God has the desire to. So what is God waiting on? What is God waiting on? And really, the question is, what are you waiting on? Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. I've asked 50 times before, and it's never happened for me. Pastor Jeff, you don't understand. This is something that I've carried with me for years. I don't know that anything's going to be different this time. In fact, I've basically given up on it. I believe in God, but I don't trust him that he can heal my back. I don't trust him that he can heal what's going on in my head. I don't trust him that he can take away the pain in my feet and ankles. I don't trust him for those things. I come to prayer meetings regularly, and I don't know what the deal is, but for some reason I've seen other people receive healing, but I don't receive healing. God wants us to ask today. I can't promise you a miracle. I can't promise you that when you come forward to the altar and you lay it out before him, that instantly things are going to change, that instantly you're going to receive freedom from addictions, or instantly you're going to receive forgiveness, or instantly you're going to have a clear answer for the thing that you're going through. I can't promise you that. But I can promise you the source, the answer for those things is down here. Why are you here today? Why did you get up? Why did you take those steps? Why did you get in the car? Why did you come here today? What does God want to do in your life today? Jesus is asking us. He's begging us. He's encouraging us. What do you want me to do for you? Father God, I just pray over each one of us in here right now. God, I just ask for your Spirit to move upon us. Lord, I pray even right now where we sit, God, I pray that you would speak to us. God, for those that are watching online, Lord, that you would speak to them right now. God, that you would stir something inside of us, God. That you would help us to identify a relationship, a person that needs to get saved, a diagnosis, a financial need in our lives, God, a heavy burden that we came in here carrying. God, help us to see it. Lord, help us to understand. God, so that in a minute when we respond, we can take that thing to you. Father, I feel your presence so strong in this place. God, help us not to let you pass by without getting your attention, without crying out to you, without asking you to help us in our time of need.